It was only a couple of weeks ago that the UVF were sticking two fingers up to the authorities, and they were plastering intimidation and threatening a contractor in East Belfast. And the slogans and the intimidation remained up there for days, with the PSNI and all of the other authorities essentially pushing the buck onto each other and nobody doing anything about it. That graffiti was then subsequently removed. Now we have another example. This time, well, does it get any worse than paramilitaries openly laughing at the authorities in Northern Ireland when they can walk in and say, informants will be shot, the police will forget about you, we won't. Direct intimidation, these are threats from the IRA to members of the public on our streets in 2019. And what happens? Well, nobody does anything about it. Of course not, because this is bright, sunny Northern Ireland, where the tourist board tells people from around the world, come to Northern Ireland. This is a fantastic country. Come and visit here. Well, one of the messages we're not pushing around is that the authorities are frightened of the paramilitaries, frightened to go in and remove the intimidation, frightened to go in and stop people being threatened with being shot and killed. Now, one person who's not frightened to talk about this is me. The number is 03030 80 55 55, and I'm sure some of you won't be either. We need to call this. It's been on for too long, hasn't it? And what if it was you next? So what if it's your name, your family member up on a gable wall? Now, one of these signs saying the police won't forget about you, the police will forget about you, we won't, informants will be shot, one of those signs is outside a primary school in Londonderry. Now think about that, and yet we leave it up. The BBC reporter Emma Vardy was in the Craigan last night for BBC News. Let's listen to a short clip from her report. She started by speaking to Father Joe Gormley from Craigan Parish.
That is saying to people, just you keep quiet and we'll do what we like here.
Since the death of Lara McKee, IRA signs have appeared in the main street warning people not to speak to police.
This one here says informers will be shot, with a picture of a rat on it. And that's actually a very dehumanising poster. These people claim to be fighting for some form of human rights, where they treat people like animals if they don't agree with them.
Police believe the IRA gunman who shot Lara McKee was a teenager who is known locally. But warnings like these, outside a school, make the threat to potential witnesses clear.
Why can't they be taken down?
Who's going to take them down?
Fear creates a culture of silence. But the most extreme views of violent dissidents are opposed by the vast majority of those who live here.
These groups need to know that they're not representing the people of this town when they're putting up posters like that and speaking like that.
Some community workers who say they can't appear on camera have told us that behind the scenes there are negotiations taking place with the people responsible for these signs to try to get them removed.
But so far with little success, and neither the council nor police show any sign of taking them down.
We have a new chief constable in Northern Ireland, a guy called Simon Byrne, brand new chief constable. Are we just going to continue like others have done in the past by saying, well, not our responsibility to take it down? So think about the messaging. You know, we would ask this question of the chief constable this morning, and I get it that this is complicated. I get it that this is difficult. But informants will be shot is a look behind that message. It basically means if you cooperate with the police, you will be shot. Is the new chief constable going to do anything about that? Is there going to be a different strategy in Northern Ireland? Or do the paramilitaries continue to win? Because for as long as those messages are left up, that is what is happening. The commentator and author, Malachy O'Doherty, with us today. Good morning, Malachy.
Good morning, Stephen.
Look, I get it that this is complicated because, you know, if you go in and you remove it, then someone else puts it up again. If civilian contractors go in and remove it, well, we saw what they were threatened with in East Belfast by the UVF. But somebody somewhere should be doing something, or else these masked men prevail.
I think the police are in a bind in a way. I mean, the troubles essentially started with enormous police overreaction to protest on the streets, and the police have inherited from that experience the lesson that you have to go easy and that you have to concern yourself with the human rights of people. But we have a human right not to be intimidated in this way. The police themselves are nakedly challenged in the message, you know, the police will forget about you, we won't. That is a clear, threat to the credibility of the police. It's a clear challenge to the credibility of the police. And the police need to answer that challenge. I don't know exactly what they do. I don't want them to see them flooding the area with police and at night and you know, taking down these signs. But I do want to see them make arrests. I do want to see them break the new IRA. And I think that they do have to do that. I wonder if they're, you know, are they maybe still caught up in the idea that intelligence is more important than evidence? That it's better to leave things as they are, manage them, and know who's doing what, and keep an eye on them, and in that sense keep a lid on things. And we would have to say that over the years there have been very successful efforts by the police to dampen down the new IRA and the other Republican groups and minimise the impact of what they did. I mean, spotting that booby trap bomb the other night in Lurgan was quite a sophisticated attempted attack, and yet a fairly sophisticated policing operation to undermine it. So that kind of thing is going on. But you cannot have public declarations of intimidation of people in an area where the police are actively searching for the murderer of Lera McKee.
We have it.
The murderer of others.
That's the point.
And it's intolerable. It is intolerable.
But Maliki, can I push back on that? It's not intolerable. Because that's what we accept in Northern Ireland. From the authorities down, they passively accept it. Look at their messaging. So look at what the PSNI say. It's not their job, they said. I'm paraphrasing here. But you know the statements. You could write them yourself because they've been the same statements for many years where the PSNI essentially say, it's not our job to do it. If somebody else decides to do it, we'll go in and give them cover. And then councils and all of these authorities, they essentially say it's a multi-agency approach. And so this goes round and round in circles. I want everybody to know about another poster that is up on a wall in Londonderry. And it is by the group CERU. Now, they are the political wing of the dissidents. And this poster, which is currently up in a wall in Derry, says the following: salute the men and women of violence. Now, you know, when is this going to be too much? So you have the rightly so, you have the absolute disgust at what happened to Lera McKee. And you have a poster up in the middle of Derry, salute the men and women of violence. And that poster stays up, Maliki. The paramilitaries are winning.
Well, there's a number of issues here. One is certainly for the new chief constable. If he has any self-respect, he cannot let this pass. This is not about saying, there are sensitivities in the community, there are policing styles that have to be managed with care. It is about the actual credibility and authority and self-respect of a policing organisation that allows its eye to be poked in this way. That's one thing. The other thing is this notion that it's up to community workers to negotiate privately with these people and come to an arrangement. I would ban this word community. You know, what in under goodness is a community? You know, what the Craigan and Bogside are is neighbourhoods. We don't have this word community when we're talking about Brixton or the Gorbals or the Moss Side. There's an understanding that within an area, a neighbourhood, there are diversities of opinion. There are forces who will intimidate people. There will be crime and there will be violence. And there will be people who keep their heads down and ignore that and are try to live their lives despite it. Here we have this weird anthropological notion that the community has some coherence to it and that there's some level of acceptance that runs right through the whole community, even if people are embarrassed and afraid. And that is wrong. That is a propagandist idea that has been put in play and picked up by the media and constantly repeated and used by community groups, you know, as just people represent an area that aren't even elected to represent that area.
And well, there are some community workers, as you know, who are genuinely working within the community. Some community workers who are genuinely fronting up to the men of violence and trying to keep kids away from it. There are other community workers, as we all know, who use that word as a cover to give themselves some type of authority, which they have not had a mandate for, and they rule through fear.
I lived as a young man in a neighbourhood which was pretty well managed in some respects by the Provisional IRA. Right, that was a housing estate where there were barricades, where people you know could patrol on corners with stun guns, where bombs were stored and arms dumps were maintained, and yet all of that really amounted to was two safe houses and a few people who would stand behind a barricade at night. And if you walked 100 yards up the street on your way to work, you passed neighbours who knew virtually nothing about what was going on. You know, there is a sense in which we too readily define a neighbourhood by the prevalent paramilitary group and imagine that that paramilitary group speaks for or infuses that neighbourhood in such a way as to define it. And that is the problem. And in many ways, we as journalists, and you in the language you use too, Stephen, and the police and others, kind of endorse that mythology, that that's how it works. Carl Grebler writes a brilliant piece about going to Portadown to look at loyalist paramilitaries, because Portadown is known as a loyalist town. And when you go there, they say to you, talk to people, they say, oh, you want to go to such and such an estate. And then you go to the estate and say, oh, you want to know about that. You want to go to such and such a street. And then you go there. And then you go to the street and say, well, what is this paramilitary problem? And they point to the door, you know, at number 17 or whatever. That's how it works. You know, people with very small clout in a neighbourhood, but with access to guns and with access to propaganda and given free rein to paint their messages on the wall and to strut about, give the impression that they command the whole area, represent the whole area, speak for the whole area, and essentially define the whole area. And that is a myth that we've been living with for too long.
I see the Ulster Unionist Party politician Doug Beattie tweeting this morning to this programme, and he says it is not the job of police to clean graffiti off walls. It's their job to gather evidence about those who put graffiti on walls and put a case to the PPS. Well, do you know what, Doug? It's not the job of the police, if they find someone lying on the road injured, to necessarily go and care for them. That's the job of the ambulance services. But the police are supposed to do more than the bare minimum. And there is a reasonable question to the PSNI. There is clearly, salute the men and women of violence is a message to the people of Derry and Londonderry to do just that, to support thugs and paramilitaries and people who kill people, and it's left up there. There's messaging now outside a school in Londonderry, outside I nearly swore there, and it remains up, outside a primary school, essentially saying that it's a sign. And it essentially is, the messaging is clear. If you cooperate with the police, then you will be shot. And it just stays up there.
And that is an intentional act to intimidate and to inhibit the work of the police. That is what it is. So it is not simply graffiti. I'm reminded of Merlin Rees, who wouldn't move against the Loyalist Workers' Council strike because he thought it was an industrial dispute. You know, I mean, mistaking a threatening message for graffiti, a threatening message which says you will be shot, is a very different order of graffiti to one that just says up their ass.
And here we go, by the way. You know, our callers are now telling us there's a similar sign, salute the men and women in violence, up in Dungannon. And the PSNI response, it's verging on a hate crime, says the police, but they say it's up to the council, according to the person who's contacted us. He was told, ring the council. And the council, well, they said, ring the road service. And the men and women of violence prevail. So there's Dungannon now, there's Londonderry now. How much is this going to spread until someone in authority says, you know what, we're fronting up with these people? Bran and Anderson's time. What do you think, Bran? Morning to you.
Well, what I think is this group of people who don't care. That booby trap bomb the other night in Craigavon, pictures, God forbid, three children, a couple of children standing there and didn't know. That goes off. And the response of these people to that, if they had been maimed or killed, what would they have said? These people don't care what they do. They say they are protectors of the people.
But Brian, that we know, and you're rightfully condemning these people. I get all that, right?
Yes.
But we do care. And the much more interesting story today is how come that we are allowing Salute the Men and Women of Violence to stay up? You know, who takes it down? And is it not too convenient for all of these people who are empowered by us as a society? We give the police, we give councils, we give all of these people the authority to do something about it, and the power and the resources to do something about it. And yet the men and women in violence have basically got a free PR campaign where they can put up slogans which is trying to recruit young people into violence, and nobody takes it down.
And they know too that the majority of people in the area, but majority of people
are terrified.
And the great majority of people don't want that.
Of course they don't want it.
But it's the fear factor.
It's the fear factor. Is that not where we need the police to not say nothing to do with us if someone else takes it? Why don't the police go in and do something about it? Now, Doug Beattie disagrees with this. Ulster Unionist Party MLA, who's on the line with us now, you're saying it's not the job of the police to do this. So whose job is it, Doug?
Of course it's not the job of the police, Stephen. And I've got to say, dumping this on the police every single time is farcical. Are you really telling me that you expect policemen to turn up there with power hoses to clean off graffiti every time?
So who does it?
Well, here's who do it. The council does it when it needs to be done.
Well, if the council do it, then you know, some council guy on a couple of grand a year that doesn't have the security or the training to protect himself, so he's now got to go in. And the men and women of violence prevail, Doug, when we allow this to happen.
No, you're missing the point completely, Stephen. Let me tell you something. I would not be allowing it to happen. That's not the point. Nobody's saying it should be allowed to happen.
It is being allowed to happen.
No, and I know it is. But the argument is you're saying, well, the police should be the ones who are spend their time going and cleaning up graffiti. And my argument is, no, it isn't. What they should be doing is proactively investigating this and producing the evidence to put these people behind bars.
But they don't.
We need tougher sentencing.
But they don't.
And here's the other, well, they should, that's the different point. But here's a strange one for you, Stephen. And here's how messed up our society is. We look at these paramilitaries and we say, you know what? We're not even going to call you paramilitaries. We're going to give you a different name. Let's call you criminals. These paramilitaries are nothing but criminals, because that's exactly what they are. We then gather evidence of them. We put it in front of the courts. We jail them. And you see, when we jail them, do you know what we do? We put them in a separated prison regime and gave them the entitlement of paramilitary all over again. So when they come back out of prison, they're rearmed with their status. That is the ridiculous state that we have in this country here. So I'm saying, let's be really strong on sentencing. Let's be really proactive on these people. Let's gather evidence. Let's put these people behind jail. But the argument that you're making, it's the police's job to clean up graffiti. And my argument is,
well, it's not graffiti. For a start, it's not graffiti. It is threats to kill. All right, so let's not sanitize what it is. It is threats to kill.
But let's use that, threats to kill. It shouldn't be there.
Well, then
it's breaking the law.
Well, then let me push back.
Hold on a minute. It's breaking the law. Therefore, the police should take proactive action against those people who put it up. If it's a threat,
they never find them. You know that.
Well, that's fine. That's up to the police. They should do their job better and find these people. The argument you're making is you expect them to go in with power hoses and clean this off.
All right.
I don't want to see my policemen doing that.
Well,
I want to see them out policing.
Okay, so let me push back. So when you have the police saying it's not their job to go in and remove this stuff, then when they reach out to the community and they say to the community, look, would you help us with information on any type of crime in Northern Ireland? We constantly hear senior police officers saying to all of us in the community, we can't do this without you. Would you trust us? Would you ring the confidential telephone line if you've got information? Why shouldn't any member of the public say, well, it's not my job to do that? I technically don't have to do that. We're talking here about going beyond the base minimum. So I give it, Doug. It is not your job. It is not the job of the PSNI to do it, in that it's, you know, they don't have a legal requirement to do it. But they could decide to do it. They could decide to show some type of strength against these murderers. And they're choosing not to do it. And they know by doing so that it then pushes it on to somebody else who also chooses not to do it. And the thugs win.
And I think you're being really unfair, Stephen, to a certain degree. I mean, the police have got a massive remit. And the bottom line is, I want to see policemen policing. I want to see more people. I want to see more neighbourhood policemen. I want to see them proactive. And I want a justice system which supports them, which puts people behind bars
okay.
when they
so
do
So who does
wrong.
Take and, threats to kill
and,
down?
And gives them the sentences that they deserve.
Who takes it down, Doug?
Well, it has to be, Stephen, it has to be organised by one way or the other through the local council. And if the police have to give them support in order for them to do that, that's what the police do.
So the local council. And what stops? Let's just talk about the elephant in the room here, right?
Go ahead.
So the local council, they decide to do it, right? What stops those people who actually do it getting burnt out of their homes or indeed shot?
Well, there's a problem that we have in society.
No, but you're saying the council should do it. So what stops them getting shot?
What's stopping policemen getting shot? They are getting shot. They're having attempts to murder them.
Okay, so we stand back from that and the thugs win.
The thugs don't win if the police are proactive. If you start putting these people behind jail, if you start taking away their status when they're in jail so that they do proper criminal time and not get some separated prison regime that some political parties in this country voted for, then we get a change in the way things are done here in Northern Ireland.
Here's the thing, Stephen.
We had the flags protest, and you know all about the flags protest.
Certainly do.
And you know that there were people who put flags up, found themselves doing serious time in jail. Now, why is it not exactly the same for those people who are putting up this stuff on the walls, that they find themselves doing serious time in jail? I think the police are being failed by our justice system. I think our justice system is poor. I think the police need to be more proactive. I think these are disgraceful things to put up on the wall. But for anybody to say it's the police's responsibility to go around the country cleaning this off, I think that's not
fair. Well, do you know what? Do you know what? Then nobody's going to do it.
Well, somebody has to do it.
Well, but somebody's not going to do it. And here we have a statement through to us this morning from Chief Inspector Jonathan Hunter. Here it is. We find the placement of these signs is equally repugnant as the wider community does. However, the removal of such items is not the responsibility of the police. So this is a sign. Salute the men and women of violence, and the police do nothing about it. Lyra McKee was shot dead on the 18th of April. Nobody has been convicted of that crime. Nobody has been put through the courts on that crime. And in the very area where she was shot dead, there are signs now going up telling the community, warning them against cooperating with the police and saluting the men and women of violence. And whether
Can
we
I
like it or not...
Stephen.
Sorry, Malachy, go ahead.
The first... I'm going to contest what Doug says to some extent. I take his point. The first responsibility of the police, as they will tell you themselves over and over again, is the protection of life. These signs are a threat to life. How am I to feel if I live in the Craigner Bogside and I am of a mind to tell the police what I know about the killing of Lyra McKee? I am to feel that I am under threat. Now, it is a work of the police to lift that threat from me. At what point do the police interject to remove a threat? Is it when someone actually has a gun in their hand pointed at me? You know, is it when a bullet is put through my post, or is it, you know, when the sign is put in the wall and the threat is voiced in that way? Now, the first responsibility of the police in that situation is to protect me. If I am a person who wants to help the police catch the killers of Lyra McKee, I am currently under threat by these signs, and the police do have a major responsibility to lift that threat. And part of that, surely, is removing the message itself, as well as going after the people who put it there.
And Chief Inspector Jonathan Hunter says this morning, we want the city to be safe and inclusive, and will fully support efforts by the relevant land or property owner to have them removed. So think about that. So the police, with all of their armoury and all of their training and all of the security assessments that they have, They're not going to go in. Of course not. It's not their job. But they want someone who owns the actual property, whose details will be on land registry, who can be intimidated because the police will not be protecting him or her 24 hours around the clock. They can't do. No police force can. So the PSNI are actually saying out loud, if you are the individual property owner, go in there, risk your life, take it off the wall. We know you'll probably be burnt out, shot or intimidated at some stage, but that's what we think the solution is. Now, am I unfair, Doug, in raising the issues around this?
Well, Stephen, you're not unfair raising the issues. I think the issue is a massive issue. I think it's a huge societal issue. You're absolutely not unfair, and I'm not challenging you for saying that we need to do something about this. I challenge you with the assertion that you believe that the PSNI is the people who should be doing this. Now, if you say to me, well, OK, well, let's resource the police and let's let them have an anti-graffiti unit, and that anti-graffiti unit's job is to go around and clean this because they've got all of those protective tools. OK, so let's resource them then and let's form that. But the other thing is, if we're not going to do that, what we're really saying is we are taking policemen off the streets who should be protecting our neighbourhoods to go and clean this off.
Doug,
now,
okay.
Different ways of protecting.
Doug, I want to ask this calmly. If you were the property owner of one of the sites where these people who do kill, who do murder, where they had put a sign up warning you that they're going to shoot you, and probably shoot you dead or something close to it if you do move in there and remove a sign, would you advise any of your family to go in and take that risk? And that's what the police are essentially saying in this statement they want property owners to do. Is it not ludicrous?
Stephen, I don't live there, and it would be unfair of me to comment on that, but I'll just comment on
your... Well, you know how Northern Ireland works.
If it was, I'll comment where I am, and that is this. I would do it. I would take it down. I wouldn't allow it. It's as simple as that. And until civic society stands up and says, no, this is not acceptable, and if I needed police to help me and support me when I did that, then that's what I did.
Why don't they take the lead?
But I do not accept this assertion that the police are sitting in their camp or in their police stations sipping lattes and doing nothing. They are out.
There's no question of that. The police are risking their lives for us. We saw the attack with the pipe bomb the other day where this crowd were intent on killing police officers, and police officers, brave men and women, are risking their lives for us. However, in this specific incident, where there is a propaganda campaign now to terrify the community, the police are standing back and saying, not their job to take down the messaging. This multi-agency approach that we keep on hearing. You know, from 20 years ago when I started broadcasting, this is what the authorities say. It's a multi-agency approach. Where is the multi-agency approach to this? They're all sitting back. The signs are still up. So what multi-agency is going to go in and remove a sign which is totally disgusting?
Stephen, it is disgusting. You know,
but there is no multi-agency approach. It's a cop-out in this circumstance, is it not?
We're singing from the same song sheet here. It is absolutely disgusting and we need to do something about it.
We're not doing anything about it.
And what I'm saying is those responsible need to be held to account.
But we're not doing it. The sign stays up.
Well, it shouldn't, Stephen.
But it is staying up. This is a circular argument. The police won't do anything about it. All of the authorities will say it's a multi-agency approach, and the thugs will continue doing... Former PSNI Deputy Chief Constable Alan McQuillan with us today. What's the solution here, Alan?
I think the solution takes a long time to implement. I think one of the problems we have is that 25 years ago, we started to decommission all the guns, and we've been very successful at that. We have never attempted to decommission the attitudes that underpinned the whole violence and the troubles, because politically, it was a vote earner for both sides. So we have never really made a huge effort to decommission this in the areas where it counts. Now, in the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland, we don't have these problems. The vast majority of areas, it's a small number of really hardcore working class areas on both sides where these problems exist, and it needs a real strategic effort to address the violence and address the causes of
but
violence.
But Alan, and I know this is going to sound facetious, but how do we not have a strategic approach? We've got all of these agencies. We've got all of these multi-agencies grouping together to take this seriously.
Have we had a strategic government? Have we had a government that's been effective? I mean, we haven't.
Where's the multi-agencies today? Where are they? What are they doing?
Well, what they're doing is they're all doing...
They're standing back, not doing anything about these slogans.
No, there are doing stuff. But let's take Derry, for example. These people put up these posters, these slogans. We're in the middle of August, start of August. What these paramilitaries want is the police to come in, try to take those down. They will immediately get the young people out and start a riot. And they'll do that, first of all, to get those people involved, possibly get them arrested, start to continue to build their base, build grievance, and give them an opportunity to shoot the police.
Okay, okay, and let me give you
what will happen.
Okay, and let me give you the counter to that, right? So I accept what you're saying, that that's a real life scenario.
Yeah.
Let me give you the counter to that. There is someone in Derry / Londonderry who does know who shot Lear McKee dead. And they see that messaging, as Malachy O'Dougherty has pointed out, which is essentially trying to instill fear and intimidate and tell people not to cooperate with the police. And those witnesses who killed Lear McKee, they don't come forward because they see the paramilitaries winning. And do you know whoever the murderer was that went out and shot Lear McKee dead? They go out and they kill somebody else, because a witness has been too frightened to come forward because nobody's going in and removing the messaging. And Alan, you know this isn't just about what the sign says. It's about the powerful message that is behind the sign staying up. It basically says out loud, we are too frightened or incapable of going in and removing it. And that means more people get shot dead. That means more people get injured. That's the counter to what you've just said.
No, I think from a police point of view, the issue is they don't have the power to remove some of this stuff. I'm not saying everything, but they don't have the legal power to do it. And that's a fundamental issue. You cannot tell police officers, you must work absolutely strictly within your powers, and then say, well, we want you to do that. And they say, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that. Because if they do, the ombudsman will be over them like a rash. I mean,
I tell you what, I would love to see any type of prosecution against the police service of Northern Ireland who are taking down a message which is a threat to kill. I would love to see that go through court.
If you're asking police officers, for example, signs of lamppost possibly, but if you're asking people to go on the private property to do things, do they have the power to do that? Do they have the power to be there? They would need the permission of the owners.
Where are the other agencies then?
Well, again, you're back again to the fact that there is intimidation.
There we go.
What the police are doing.
And so the murderers win.
Well, we've been in a situation where the terrorists have been doing this, Stephen, for 50 years.
Yeah.
If we want to beat them, it's going to be a long-term thing, and we have to be sophisticated about it. And we urgently need a prudent approach here. We need to look at
a prevent strategy.
In England, we have a prevent strategy, which is aimed at de-radicalising and stopping the radicalisation of young people. We really need a Northern Ireland version of that.
And we can have all the strategies in the world. Malachy O'Dougherty, let me bring you back into this. We can have a prevent strategy. We can have lots of glossy brochures with all of these strategies with great intent. The bottom line is, the cold hard truth is, young people in their formative years, take Londonderry as an example, they are seeing a message telling them to salute the men and women of violence.
So and what you, they're you know, seeing
park
is
park all your strategies and just look at that.
And what they're seeing also is a demonstration that the paramilitaries get their way. You know, what they're saying is a big what those signs might as well say is, we are untouchable. You can't do anything about us. Now, I understand. I think Alan makes some fantastic points about the history of policing in Northern Ireland, about the danger of building grievance. I think, you know, if the police go in, for instance, and the police shoot somebody, you know, there'll be hell to pay. And I think if there are riots, there will be people recruited into paramilitary organisations and the thing will build. That is true. You know, and therefore, there has to be imaginative policing of a kind that deals with this. But one thing I don't quite understand, and maybe, Alan, you can explain it, how were the police able to go into East Belfast and dismantle bonfires, which are a threat to life, and they can't deal with a threat to life in the Bogside when it's written in a sign? Because that is direct intimidation of people who might be of value to the police. That's one thing. You know, another possible, if you say we're confined within the rules of policing, surely the police must make it clear that they do not want those signs there. And, you know, the very language used in the statement this morning is, oh, this is not our job, this is the responsibility of others, you know.
Property owner. They want the property owner to go in and remove it.
It doesn't express what we should be hearing from the police, which is outrage.
Well, the police have said that they're outraged by this. They have said that in their statement, to be fair.
Okay, right, fair enough, okay.
But they've said they're outraged, but they've said they're not going to go in and remove it, and they want a property owner to walk in, remove it, knowing that that property owner will then be intimidated, if not killed, for doing so.
Yeah, but the point you made, Stephen, on the one hand, Alan is making the point, you get a riot going there, you will end up with recruitment to paramilitaries and the building of grievance, and things get worse. But the other side of it is you do nothing and people begin to realise that the paramilitaries are untouchable and they can get away with anything. And that itself is a building of grievance. That itself will institutionalise the standoff against the police.
Okay, here's Charlie.
And the rejection of authority.
Well, let me know what you think at home about this. 030 30 80 55 55. Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I think the spotlight should be put firmly on the Republican-led Derry and Strabane City Council. They should take their lead from Belfast City Council, who went up a plactic over this bonfire in East Belfast. So I just would put a call out to Derry and Strabane City Council to get off their hands and do something about this.
What can they do?
I don't know, Stephen. I'm not on the council, but they need to have an emergency meeting today, maybe, the way Belfast City Council did, and they need to get their heads together. They need to go and take these signs down and run a public campaign showing the young people that they are safe and they won't be shot. But, Stephen, this is my concern. As I've already said, Derry and Strabane City Council is a Republican-led council. Let's see if they'll bite their own tail.
Well, now, I'm sure the people from within that council will deeply object to what you've just said there, and that they will point out that they are law-abiding people, that they find violence as abhorrent as you or anybody else, and that this is a complicated situation. Stephen and Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. Well, we've had about 40 minutes of going around in circles with this. When push comes to shove, it's not words that count, it's actions. It's about leadership. You see, and this morning I've heard, if you like, one offer of leadership in this, and it came from Doug Beattie. And I think that would be a man recognised for his official role in leadership. But what he's suggesting is absolutely right. It is Derry City Council who need to provide the lead with this. But Emma Vardy, as you know, was up there in the Craigan yesterday, and she interviewed Father Joe Gormley and, put it to him. Surely, if the community of Craigan, who know everything that goes on in Craigan, okay, cannot support their parish priest, after all, he was the man who anointed Lara McKee. If they cannot support a parish priest working with Derry City Council to have these signs removed and demonstrate the difference between right and wrong from that community, surely there is something very mixed in the messages that they're going out.
What about, Stephen, if someone from within the council goes in to remove that material, what about the fact that they will very possibly be injured, if not their life in danger?
But you're trying to predict the future, Stephen. It's a very dangerous game.
It would be a dangerous game to not make that assessment if you were the person doing it. If you've got a wife and kids at home and you're the person going in to remove that, you know, what happens that night when you're in bed?
Well, I think that one of the things that needs to be done in order to make this happen, after all, we've already had the East Belfast situation addressed. You see, where council workers went in.
I'm sorry, in East Belfast, the UVF put up intimidation, threatening a contractor, and it stayed up there for days.
Yep. But the outcome wasn't different, Stephen. This is what you're doing. You're jumping ahead, predicting outcomes. I think that there is clearly an opportunity here, because the real concern that all of us will have about this is, okay, as has been suggested, that we are accepting once again the idea that there can be two sets of law and order in operation in Northern Ireland. And there cannot be. We've learned after 50 years that doesn't work. We may not like it, but we have to accept.
Here's an interesting point, and let me put this to you, Alan McQuillan. Someone has just contacted us from a legal background, okay? And they have said to us that if the police wanted to do something about this, actually they do have the power to do so, and here's why. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but this is the suggestion from someone we know that would be from a quite respected legal background, okay, a very respected legal background, okay? And they have said that if the police wanted to consider that graffiti as evidence, they could do so, and that would empower the PSNI to remove it.
I don't see how considering it as evidence gives you the power to do anything other than photograph it. The issue of stuff put on the road signs may be slightly different, but you need to look carefully at that. But I'm sorry, I don't particularly agree with that.
But it's taking the point of the city council
as well.
Yeah.
So can I just develop that? Because I agree. We need this stuff taken down. It needs to be a community effort. But the issue is this: if the city council perceive that there's a real threat of their staff being seriously injured or killed, they can't remove this. They can't instruct them to do it because it would be a criminal offence for the chief executive to do that under the Health and Safety at Work Act. So, you know, what's
a criminal offence?
Under the Health and Safety at Work Act, if a person running an organisation does something that puts their staff at risk and they're seriously injured or they're killed, they are criminally liable under the Health and Safety at Work Act. I mean, at one point, we almost had the chief constable prosecuted because an individual was killed when a door in a police station closed accidentally on him in Christian. So, you know, we can't just say, oh, it's up to them to do it and they'll have to do it no matter what the risk is. We can't do that. They can't do that. Legally, they can't do it as well.
David and Carrie Duff. Morning, David.
Morning, Steve. My point's already been made about East Belfast, the bonfire in East Belfast. I mean, are many policemen down there to protect the contractors? And you said about the sign. The sign wasn't threatening life. It just put his name up. I know it's wrong. It shouldn't have been done.
Yeah, and what was the message behind putting the name up?
Yes, I know that. I know what you're getting at. But, I mean, there was you done a few phone-ins yesterday with George and Shankle and Robert from Carrickfergus about unequal policing. Is it not coming to fruition now? You know, they're scared of going, they won't go in with contractors up in Londonderry, yet they would then mob hand it in East Belfast.
Well, you say they would then mob hand it. They would outright reject that, wouldn't they?
Well, there was about 10 Land Rovers, I mean.
Well, maybe there should have been 20, and
last year there was 30 Land Rovers in the signal, Road ready to go in to empty a bonfire. So
maybe the signal the UVF should get is that if they start intimidating people, then the authorities will take them on with as many Land Rovers and other resources
as is needed. You're getting the UVF again. You're getting away from the point.
Because it was the UVF put it up.
The police went into East Belfast. Why can they not go into Londonderry with contractors and take a sign down?
There's a question. Doug Beattie, just one other point to make to you. I noticed since he's come into his role, and look, the Chief Constable, to be fair to him, has agreed to come into the Nolan Show and talk to the public about policing in Northern Ireland. And we look forward to arranging that. We'll get on to them and arrange that. But he's been very visible on social media since he got his job, Doug, right? So you see the Chief Constable on Twitter and things travelling around Northern Ireland and very much positioning himself as a man on the ground dealing with local issues. What type of signal, Doug, does it send in contrast to those Twitter messages that the police are on top of it, that the police are embedded in the community? If there are threats to kill people being plastered over walls and public property and it's left up there and the police are saying not their job to tackle it, Doug. It is not a helpful message, is it?
Well, it's timely that you ask me this because I'm meeting the chief constable today at 3 o'clock, and I'll put that very point to him. But I've got to say, in your use of language there, Stephen, I think, again, is grossly unfair. You're saying they're not doing anything about it. That was not the argument that we had the discussion that started off with. It was about who was responsible for taking it down. Do I think the police need to be more proactive in tackling this sort of thing? Absolutely. I've said that already. And that means gathering evidence. And that means making sure that those people responsible are put before the courts and are sentenced, and then actually puts them behind bars. And when they're behind bars, they are not given any status and any kudos with a separated prison regime. And I think one of the interesting things that you might want to take up, Stephen, which is an interesting story, is why do some of our political parties believe that we should have paramilitary separated regime, and who indeed voted for it in 2016 to retain it? Because these people come back out with this status and this kudos, and they go back into their communities and do exactly the same thing all over again. So our society needs to rebalance itself.
Doug, thank you very much indeed. Malachy O'Doherty, Alan McQuillan, thank you.